The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
We are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And before we get underway with our second interview, we do want to take time to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And our next interview is being powered by our friends at Pinnacle Bank. Go to their website at pinbanktx.com. And it is time to get you ready for the NFC Championship and overall the NFL playoff preview. We've got some great stuff to be going over. And our source for all of this is former NFL and college football standout at the University of Nebraska, the great Jason Peter, the double nickel. You know, my husband on Monday is turning 55, and our little guy said, hey, he's going to be Jason Peter's number, 55. And he's going to kill me listening to the show going, I cannot believe you're announcing my age on air. So,
yeah, for men, it's not that big of a deal, I guess.
He's much older than me. I'm much younger than that, I promise.
I'll feel different when I hit the big 5-0, but it's still a ways away.
Oh, you're still such a baby. But let's talk some NFL. Your team is in the hunt. I know you're a Carolina Panther. That's, of course, who you played for, but you're a New Jersey boy. You love the Giants. There's some drama, some intrigue to this particular matchup. What intrigues you the most?
Well, you know, to start with, like you said, being a former player for Carolina, I'll always root and cheer for them. But there's nothing that can replace the team that you grew up cheering for as a kid. You know, I remember being a child, and my grandfather had nosebleed seats at Giant Stadium, and every once in a while he'd take, with three boys in the house, it was kind of a rotating basis, but every once in a while it was my turn, and you'd look down there, and, you know, being able to watch Lawrence Taylor and Harry Carson and Phil Sims and all those guys, it was a joy. I mean, it was a dream, and you never thought that one day that, I myself would be playing in Giant Stadium, and my older brother got to play for the Giants for 4 years. So nothing ever, I think, can take the place of your childhood team that you cheered for. But look, this game, a lot of buildup. Again, obviously with any championship game, you're going to have a lot of buildup, but the Giants come off following knocking off the team that a lot of people thought were unbeatable in the Green Bay Packers. And, being led by Aaron Rodgers, and everybody talked about Rodgers like there's nothing that this guy can't do. And he's playing the game better than anybody has ever played the quarterback position. And arguably, maybe he was. But I think it just goes to show you that it's not about one guy. It's not about a quarterback. It's not about a running back, a receiver, a defensive lineman. It takes a team effort, especially when you get to this level in the NFL. You're talking about the best of the best in terms of teams, and you need an entire team effort. And the Giants were just more ready to go. Obviously, the ball bounced their way. The turnovers killed Green Bay. And if there's one statistic that coaches would say pregame, where would they like to be on the higher end, the winning end? And 99% of them, I'm sure, would say the turnover margin, the turnover ratio, because you can't give the other team any more opportunities than what they already have coming to try to get the ball in the end zone. And Green Bay just, the ball didn't bounce their way, and the Giants took advantage of it. And, even with that, though, Green Bay was still able to kind of make it a game at one point, but the ball then just didn't bounce their way again, and the Giants were able to capitalize on all those mistakes. But it doesn't get any easier, I don't think, especially in terms of teams that kind of have that mojo going. And San Francisco, with with the game that they pulled off out there or at Candlestick against New Orleans. And New Orleans was, I think, the team that most people thought would give Green Bay a run, and either it was going to be Green Bay or New Orleans winning the Super Bowl with, you know, most of the power coming out of the NFC this year. But you never know what's going to happen on any given Sunday. And it was San Francisco's turn. I mean, every time you thought that they were out, especially when you look at who New Orleans has on offense with Drew Brees and how explosive they are, and that's not really the same way that San Francisco is set up. I mean, Alex Smith, he certainly has his fair share of criticism over his career, and yeah, he's done a tremendous job this year, but I think there was still a large part of the viewing audience, the San Francisco fan base, that thought, we won't be able to get the ball down the field with Alex Smith running the offense. Because I think people just naturally, they gravitate, whether it's to the negativity or just, you know, I don't think we're going to do it because of this or because of that. There's, I think, when people are trying to decide between the positive and negative, I think sometimes it's just easier maybe to think about the negative things that people do. And I think the cards were certainly stacked against San Francisco late in that game, but they found a way. And Jim Harbaugh has done a tremendous job. I remember going back and talking about prior to the season starting in the lockout, and we talked about all the teams that would have trouble this year because of the lockout and not being able to have communication with the players and the coaches and teams that will be running new offenses and so on and so forth. And I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I thought San Francisco would struggle because they had a new staff coming in. They were implementing a new offense. You know, they were probably going to make some roster changes. Somehow or another, Jim Harbaugh has not just gotten his team to the NFC Championship game. I mean, they've had, you know, the most dominant defense in the NFC. They have done a tremendous job winning big football games the entire year, and they deserve to be playing in this game. But obviously my heart lies with the Giants, and hopefully Eli Manning, he's had a little stomach bug earlier in the week. Hopefully he'll be healthy and ready to go, and the Giants are really clicking on all cylinders. So it's going to be a great game. I mean, I remember watching the Giants games of old when they'd have to go out to San Francisco and play the Montanas and the Dwight Clarks and the Jerry Rices. And most of the time, the Giants were on the losing end. But hopefully things change this weekend.
You're right about the Giants offense, because Eli Manning and just offensively, they have had so much to celebrate in this postseason. But I just want to back up for a moment, because you were just talking. I know you're a defensive guy, so, you know, the 49ers defense, it has just been superb. I thought they did an incredible job last weekend getting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they got, what, 9 hits on Drew Brees. I mean, that kind of pressure, Jason, that results in turnovers, and that's going to get you going.
You got to be able to have a defensive line that's able to create some chaos. If a quarterback has time in the pocket, if he has a comfort level in the pocket, 99% of the quarterbacks in the NFL will be able to move the ball on any given defense if they're not feeling pressure, if they're not out of their comfort zone, if you're not making them throw out of a barrel is a term that defensive line coaches and players use. You want to kind of create this pocket that closes down and he doesn't have any room to step up and step into his throws. And San Francisco has done a great job. I mean, how about the play of the rookie, Alden Smith,
yeah,
from Missouri? I mean, I watched this kid when he was at Missouri playing Nebraska, and not for a second did I ever think that this kid would be able to go into the NFL and create the type of havoc he has for quarterbacks in his, just his first year. But, you know, he's an athletic kid, and he's able to use that speed. And when you're one of those edge guys, that's the number one thing you need, is you need speed. Every move that a defensive lineman has is created off of a speed rush. Speed is what you're taught when you play defensive end, and everything else that comes, all the counter moves, everything comes from speed. If there's no speed threat from that offensive tackle, he can just kind of sit there and plant his big fat butt and wait for that defensive end to come to him. But yeah. When he's forced kind of to stretch that pocket and move out of that pocket, that's when it opens up those bigger lanes between the offensive tackle and the guard, and that's when you can see the spin moves and some of the counter moves and the move that Reggie White made famous, the kind of rip and the hump move where he'd just throw guys. And these are all things that are based off of speed rushes, and Alden Smith has it. But, they've got tremendous guys, athletes on defense. The Patrick Wills kid from Old Miss kid, Old Miss player. He is one of the best, if not the best, middle linebacker in football right now. They just have a lot of good football players out there with an attitude that I think Jim Harbaugh has brought to the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, so, we talk about the 49ers defense, but what about offensively? I mean, they have shown that they do have a number of weapons that they can go to, but this offense isn't, like the Patriots, the Saints, or even the Packers.
No, but you look at Vernon Davis, the tight end, and to me it's a shock when any team, whether you're talking about NFL, you're talking about college, high school, if a coach doesn't try to develop or place one of the best athletes on the team at the tight end position, to me it's just a head-scratcher. I don't understand it because you create mismatches with the guys that are trying to cover him. Lots of times if defenses are trying to cover a tight end with a linebacker, it's a mismatch. And especially today, I mean, there's not many of the Mark Bavaro types out there, the big 245, 50-pounders, 60-pounders that are just kind of the bigger bodies. And Bavaro was kind of a rare breed. He was able to have these excellent hands as well as being a big body. But now you have more of those hybrid-type guys, the Jeremy Shockeys, the Vernon Davises. And Vernon Davis is, when you look at just pure athleticism and the eye test, I don't know if there's anybody who looks better than Vernon Davis. And he had a career day. When you look at the pieces of the puzzle that are around Alex Smith, and you add Crabtree and Frank Gore in the back, and they have guys that can make plays. It's just going to be a matter of, can this offensive line give him, Alex Smith, enough time to distribute the ball and get through his progression? And you talk about defensive line play. The Giants are arguably the best defensive line in the NFL, and that says a lot.
We are continuing with our NFL playoff preview. Now we're going to move forward. We're going to talk about Baltimore, 13-4 at New England, the team that is 14-3 right now. And there certainly are a number of storylines. But what jumps out at you the most in this particular matchup?
Well, to me, I think it's almost about stuff that's not happening on the field. I think it has to do with
in-house issues.
The in-house kind of controversy issues that are happening in Baltimore. It starts with Flacco, Joe Flacco, the quarterback who I guess wants more respect is maybe the way that he put it a few weeks ago. And he doesn't know why that everyone has a love affair with the Aaron Rodgers and the Drew Brees and
Tim Tebow.
He's tried to, make believers out of anybody who watches an NFL game that the reason why those guys are the quarterbacks that they are is because that they play in an offense that is catered to the quarterback. And Flacco, if he was in one of those offenses, he would be the same type of quarterback. But so he's been kind of labeled, I guess, a whiner lately. I mean, I remember hearing him, I guess, have a problem with the amount of coverage that Tim Tebow was getting. And he was upset that every time he turned on ESPN, they were talking about Tebow. And he thought that they should be talking about Baltimore and the job that they're doing. And you know, maybe there's some validity to that. Maybe the Tebow mania got a little bit out of control. But it was a story that people, I guess, were taken with, and you know, if people didn't want to hear it or people didn't want to see it, you know, ESPN and Fox and all the other major networks, they wouldn't have done stories about it. But you know, the point is, you can't worry about what everybody else is doing. I mean, I remember you know, being in college, and it's easy to kind of get caught up in, you know, well, I think I'm better than that guy, or why am I playing now, and I'm better than him, and the only thing you could do is just worry about kind of your own house. Take care of your own house, and Flacco has taken some heat now about it, obviously with the performance that he had against Houston, and old Wade Phillips' defense, they really got after him. And you talk about that. I talked about that comfort level that quarterbacks need.
Yes.
He never really was able to find that comfort level. They were able to do a really good job of taking him out of that comfort zone. But I've always been a skeptic of Flacco since they've taken him out of the first round and out of Delaware. You know, he is one of these guys that he seems to just be a piece of the puzzle, like I said, which is important. Obviously, you need a guy that's capable of making some plays, but you know, to be even mentioned in the same category, or the same sentence as a Breeze or a Brady or a Rodgers, it's laughable. And now, you know, Ed Reed has come out this past week, and he's kind of pointed the finger a little bit at Flacco, basically saying what you did, you know, against Houston isn't good enough, and you need to step up, and you need to play better. And you know, as long as it doesn't get to a point like that's happening up there in New York with the Jets and all the in-house fighting that's going on up there, I think Baltimore will be all right. They've got such leadership from Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, and their guys, you know, you talk about that defense, you know, they've been at the top of the list for many, many years, and you need some sort of leadership, I think, to be able to maintain that level of play.
Well, historically, as you said, you know, the Ravens have been so solid defensively, but I can only imagine if you had a chance to go one-on-one with Joe Flacco, what Jason Peter would say to him. I'm going to assume it would be hush up and play, right?
You know,
probably wouldn't say it that way.
especially nowadays, you know, more focused at college level and Nebraska, but seeing especially some of the younger players now with Twitter and the ways that they're able to communicate with the fans, so many of them, they, you know, wait till 2012, the defense is going to be this or that, or you know, we had issues up here with one of the receivers when people were given the quarterback criticism. They said, you know, nobody, this kid comes out and says, nobody talks about my quarterback. And it's just shut up and play. You know, that's, you've got no room to talk right now. You haven't won any sort of championship, whether conference or national. Just shut up and play, especially the young kids. I mean, they kind of need to earn their stripes, so to speak. And nowadays, it's just so easy for guys to make themselves relevant. They just get on their Twitter account and make some bold statements.
Well, I'm Lady Luck. I wasn't going to say that. I was going to let you say that, Jason. So, hey, just a few more minutes this weekend with the great Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. He always brings it strong. And quickly, as we get ready to wrap up, talk to us about Tom Brady. I know that they're saying that he's not been 100%. He's had a sore, non-throwing shoulder. And how much of an impact will that play and factor in to Sunday's matchup?
Well, remember, Alyssa, this is the report coming out of New England, and you never really...
It's such a team. It's an organization of integrity, isn't it, Jay?
Yeah, you never really know what is the truth. They certainly, especially Belichick has had his fair share of critics and controversy, and but they're reporting that Brady mispracticed earlier in the week with a sore non-throwing shoulder, which would be his left shoulder, but they say he's ready to go, and I imagine that it won't be too bad. I mean, the performance that they had against Denver and the job that Brady did, it didn't seem like any body part on Tom Brady was bothering him. You know, they're really coming into this game with some momentum, especially on offense and on defense. I thought they would win the Denver game. I didn't think that it would be over by halftime, and that game got out of hand awfully quick. And that's the thing. I mean, when you know, Bill Belichick, he is kind of a Nick Saban-like guy. I mean, he's able to look at his opponent, and it's almost not about what, you know, this team does as a whole well when he's looking at an opponent. He finds the weak link in a defense, and he says, we're going to exploit that. We're going to kind of attack this guy. And I'm talking about the tiniest things. If a defensive tackle can't play a down block from the offensive tackle, that's the thing. He'll figure out 10 different plays where he can run that down block on that defensive tackle, but show it 10 different ways. You know, he's able to exploit that weak link on any particular defense, and they're able to capitalize on that. Obviously, when you have a player like Tom Brady, it makes it a little easier. And you know, Wes Welker and Danny Woodhead, the Nebraska native, they've got playmakers as well out there in New England.
Jason, enjoy the games this weekend. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week. We'll get a full recap and get ready for the big, big game. And as always, thanks for taking time. We appreciate it, Jay.
Thanks for having me. And let's hope that by this time next week, Rob Lowe is not right. Peyton Manning is still an NFL player.
What does Rob Lowe know anyways, right? Stick to acting, okay?
I know. It's that Twitter.
I know.
It goes again.
It's a dangerous thing. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just one moment.